of your Bibles tonight and want to read along with me, turn to the Old Testament book of Jonah. The book of Jonah tonight. It's a strange little book, the book of Jonah. It's a simple book, only three chapters long. It's not a big book. Jonah's listed among what we call commonly the minor prophets. Minor prophet doesn't mean that he's less significant, less important, but the size of the book and the scope and time period of the ministry distinguishes between the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the minor prophets. Amen. But as simple as this book is, it's an elegant book. It's deep, it's challenging. Amen. There's some things about this book that are a little difficult for rational minds to fully grasp. It's fallen under a lot of criticism. Modernists don't want to accept the story of Jonah being swallowed up by a whale and surviving it. But I believe it. I believe it happened just like it says in the Bible. I believe it not just because I believe that the book of Jonah is part of the Scripture, but I believe it because Jesus vindicated it later when He said that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and nights, so will the Son of Man be also in the grave or in the depths of the earth. Amen. Jesus then made us to know that Jonah's experience was also symbolic of something much bigger. I struggle a little bit when I get to Jonah chapter 3 or chapter 4. And I think I said three chapters earlier. It's four chapters long. But in chapter 3 and chapter 4, there's some strange interactions between God and Jonah. That whole thing about the gourd growing up and, you know, and Jonah getting angry and that whole conversation there, that's a little mysterious to me. But this overall is a book of miracles. And I love studying and reading the book of Jonah. I'm just going to read one scripture to you tonight, but I'll give you a chance to stand if you'd like while we read this one scripture. Won't take long. So enjoy this little stretch break here. Chapter 3, verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. That's all. That's what I want to read tonight. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Just to let it soak in. Let's read it one more time, and if you'd like to, just read out loud with me tonight. All right, ready? And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You may not know it right off from the start here, but when I read that, I see second chances. Amen. I'm glad that God is the God of second chances. Aren't you glad that He's the God of second chances tonight? Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to be in Your house tonight. We thank You for what You've already done in visiting us through the songs and the testimonies that we've heard. It's already been a great thing to have been in the house of the Lord. But now, God, as we come to the preaching part of this service, we beg for Your anointing. We ask for Your help. We ask, O Lord, that You would take these words and that You would direct the arrow towards the intended target tonight. Lord, that You would work Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. We'll give You the glory and the honor and the praise. And everybody that agrees with me, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated tonight. I would like to preach to you about second chances tonight. And just tell you that yesterday when I traveled with Brother Prescott down to Winston-Salem to go to the hospital. I enjoyed the trip. I'd never been to Winston-Salem, North Carolina before. Got to see the famous Wake Forest Hospital there, Baptist University Hospital. And besides that, I got to discuss scriptures and talk about the Lord with Brother Bill all the way down there and back. I enjoyed that time. But we went to visit the young man that he made mention of earlier in the service, somebody that I don't know at all, and only met there for a moment, and you no doubt know about the situation there, as Brother Prescott's already said in the form of prayer request. But I kind of stood back after Brother Prescott introduced me, and Brother Bill was talking to him and asking him, you know, about his relationship with God and how, if he had prayed after this horrible event and a terrible decision that young man had made in attempting to take his own life. And then Brother Bill said to Stephen, said, you know, Stephen, the Lord, something along these lines. He said something about Stephen, you know, the Lord's been merciful to you. You know, the Lord has spared you for some reason. And I watched as that young man bowed his head and he said, yes, sir, he's given me a second chance. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad that God is a God of second chances. The fact of the matter, with many of us, He is the God of third chances and fourth chances and tenth chances. Amen. He's a God, amen, that is patient and long-suffering. And none of us have deserved His mercy. But I'm glad that He has been patient towards us and waited upon us and gave us chance after chance. He is not obligated to give us a second chance. There is nothing in the Scriptures that indicate that God owes it to us to have a second chance. To have had one chance is the mercy of all mercies. But a second chance, especially to be granted a second chance after you've done like Jonah has done. Come on now. Amen. If you'll help me tonight, I'd like to talk to you about second chances. And I don't know exactly which way we're aiming here. It may be that some of you are concerned about loved ones that are away from God tonight, running. Headlong in the wrong direction, and maybe you're worried that they've run out of chances, and God just wants to remind you not to quit praying for them and not to give up on them, because He is the God of second chances. And it may be that there's somebody sitting in this very building tonight. You've been playing games with God, drifting, or however you ended up in this particular spiritual condition. And God wants you to know in this service tonight that He's offering you another chance. Amen. But let's look at Jonah's situation here. I see two sides to this story. This famous book of Jonah, I think, is easily dissected into two parts. It's the story of Jonah, the man on the run. But then he's also the man on the rise. And I hope to get to the positive side of that story, but we can't appreciate the positive side of the story until we investigate the negative side of the story. Jonah was a man on the run in the wrong direction. He was a man running from God. Now, what makes this especially bad is the fact that he had already been called to preach. He was already established as a prophet. He was already a minister of God's Word. But God had given him a particular assignment to do. God had spoke to him and asked him or required him to go and preach to that wicked city called Nineveh. Amen. Jonah made a bad decision. He miscalculated the situation. And he ran in the wrong direction. There's been a lot of research and writings done about Jonah's decision and the reason for it. And we can make a lot of excuses for Jonah if we want to because of his choice, but it really boils down to the fact that he made the wrong choice, made the wrong decision, and went in the wrong direction. But Nineveh was a wicked city. It was a great city, according to verse number 2 in chapter 1. Arise, God said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. In chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, we read a little bit more about Nineveh. When Jonah actually went there, we find out that he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Some people estimate that Nineveh was about 48 miles in circumference. It was a big city, a huge metropolitan area. When it says here it was 3 days' journey, we don't know exactly how to calculate that, but basically speaking, in biblical calculations, distance was measured in the amount of time that it took you to walk a certain distance. And so, roughly calculating, a man could walk at a reasonable pace about 3 miles an hour. And depending on how many hours he walked in a day, which an average would be, if he was on a lengthy trip, would be 8 hours. So that would say roughly 24 miles in a day's journey. So you can get the impression that using those calculations, it could have been much, much bigger than the 48-mile circumference that some have measured. It was a great city, but it was also a wicked city. The population, according to the scriptures here, was 120,000 people. Amen. And famous for its wickedness. So wicked that God had determined that He was going to have to destroy that city. But in His mercy, and I told you that this is a book of second chances, it's not just about Jonah's second chance. God was giving Nineveh a second chance. Amen. Oh, if God would just give America another chance. Isn't it our prayer tonight that we could have one more revival? I don't know how many revivals we have experienced in America, how many mercies God has extended to America. But it's my prayer, oh Lord, just one more time. Amen. I know, I'd love to see revival in our homeland again, wouldn't you? In a mighty move of God. And because God is a God of mercy, oh, I expect that it is possible. He doesn't owe it to us. And it may not happen. But based upon His mercy, it is possible that we could have a revival. Amen. It wasn't just Jonah offered a second chance, and it wasn't only Nineveh offered a second chance, but later on when Jonah gets in that ship going away from God, those men were just about doomed with Jonah on board that boat. They were about to sink in that storm that was designed to stop Jonah in his progress away from God. They almost lost their lives, but God gave them a second chance. Hallelujah. Amen. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. As I said, some have tried to come up with the reasons why. Maybe Jonah was afraid. He knew that that place was a wicked place. He was fearful. Any of us would be fearful. What if God told you to go downtown Washington, D.C. and preach at the top of your voice? It wouldn't be an easy thing to do. What if He told you to go down in your own neighborhood and stand on the street corner and preach at the top of your voice? That would not be an easy thing. Maybe it was fear. Maybe, amen, it was prejudice. Maybe, as some have said, knowing that Nineveh was such a wicked city and that Nineveh and the Ninevites were responsible for the deaths of many of Jonah's own people, relatives maybe, and the cruelty of those Assyrians and the way that they treated Israel when they came through that land of Israel, maybe Jonah was stubbornly saying he didn't want Nineveh to be saved. He didn't want God to be merciful to that wicked place. And his prejudice turned him against them. I don't know. They're all just wild calculations, and they would just boil down to excuses. When God speaks to us, when God calls us, when God asks us to do something, we are without excuse. Amen. We've heard the testimony tonight of a man who had studied many years to be a doctor and had set his course in a very noble profession. And it even worked to heal sick bodies. Amen. We're grateful for that. But for him to have stepped away from that calling to pursue the calling to preach the gospel, I'm telling you, friend, when God calls you to be a preacher, it doesn't matter if you're a doctor. Amen. If God calls you to preach, it doesn't matter if you're a politician. It doesn't matter if you agree with this or that. When God speaks, my friend, we are obligated to put Him first, number one. Not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And Jonah made a choice. It was a decision. He went away from the will of God. He ran from the presence of the Lord. And that's exactly what the Scripture says here in verse number 3 of chapter 1. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was running from the presence of the Lord. I want to ask you tonight, are you running from the presence of the Lord? Are you running from God tonight? Running from God? You say, well, here I am, preacher, sitting in church tonight. Oh, can't you see? Here I am in church. Does that mean I'm running from God? Amen. Coming to church does not mean that you're automatically right with God. Sitting on a padded church pew in the comfort of this church building on a Thursday night does not guarantee you points with God. It is your attitude towards Him. It is your relationship with Him. It's the way you live your life on an everyday basis. If you're not living for Him, you're running from Him. Help me tonight, Lord. Amen. Jonah was running from the presence of the Lord. Running from the presence of the Lord. And it's interesting, and I know I've told you already this week that you wouldn't hear any new things from me. Amen. There's no new thing under the sun anyways. We just have a little, maybe a variety of different ways of communicating. Amen. So this is not new. You've heard it said. But the fact is, when you read the book of Jonah and you see Jonah running from the presence of the Lord, you notice that he's going in a downward direction. Verse number 3 says he went down to Joppa, and then he paid the fare thereof to the boat, the ship, and he went down into it. Verse number 5 says, and Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. Down, down, down. Later on, when he testifies about God delivering him out of the belly of the whale, chapter 2 and verse 6, he testifies and says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He went down to Tarshish, down to a ship, down into the belly of the ship. From there, down into the water, down into the belly of that whale, and down to the very base of the mountains at the lowest part, amen, of the sea. I'm telling you, he literally was as low as a man can go in this world, literally speaking. When you're going away from God, my friend, it is always a downward direction. Always a downward direction. I believe down is the devil's direction. Amen. Up is God's word, God's direction. Down is the devil's direction. Let's take a little test here tonight. Everybody point in the direction that you think heaven is. All right. Just about unanimous here tonight. Everybody pointing up. Amen. Now, let me know what direction you think hell is tonight. Amen. That's the general consensus of the Scripture. Amen. And so that little test tells us that instinctively we know that God's direction is up and the devil's direction is down. When you're going away from God, it is a downward direction. Down is the devil's direction. Down is the direction away from God. Down is the direction of failure. Down is the direction of quitters. Down is the direction of cowards. Down is the direction of disobedience. When you're, amen, running away from God, this downward spiral, amen, is down into sin, down into habits, down into problems, down into despair. Amen, my friend, if you feel like your life is going down, 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 maybe it's because you're heading in the wrong direction. Amen, praise God. Help me preach just a little while tonight. I don't know if this is on, brother, or not. I guess I should have asked you before service. And wouldn't have that interruption every night. Amen. I just need to ask you tonight, what direction are you going? Amen. What direction are you going? Are you on the upward road? Amen. I believe God's direction is up. Amen. When you get saved, He puts you on the upward road. Thank God we're going up, my friend. If you're living for God, the world may try to make us feel like we're the downtrodden of the world, but the fact of the matter is we're on the upward road. We're heading somewhere. Amen. I believe that when you get saved, you're upward in movement, upward in focus. Lift up your eyes. Amen. The Bible says, because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. The Scriptures tell us in the book of Psalms, amen, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that when I got saved, He pulled me up out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay and set my feet upon a solid rock. Amen. Being a Christian doesn't take you down. Being a Christian takes you up. Praise God. I'm glad I'm on the upward road. And guess what? One of these days, the trumpet is going to sound. Amen. There's going to be a voice of an archangel and the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Praise God. Amen. I've got my eyes on the prize tonight, and I believe I'm going in an upward direction. Somebody say praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. But Jonah was in a downward direction. Down, 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 down. Amen. Till finally ended up there in the belly of that whale that the Lord had prepared, down in the bottom of the sea, at the bottom of the mountains in the sea. Amen. I want to tell you that Jonah was down. Yes, he was. There's no doubt about that. But I believe tonight that there's others besides Jonah that's down. They may not necessarily be in this service, but you can think of somebody right now that's down, can't you? How many of you know somebody that you would say is pretty down right now? Amen. Down may mean a lot of things. It can mean a physical direction, but it can also mean an emotion. I feel down today. It can be a state of mind. It can be a condition. Amen. There's a lot of people that are down tonight, and there's a lot of ways that people get down. And I'm going to tell you that in my way of thinking, there's at least five ways that I know of that people can get down. Jonah's is just one of the ways that leads in a downward direction. I call Jonah's way the step down. Jonah was down because he chose to go in that direction. Jonah was God called. He was on this level. Amen. But he stepped down and chose a direction that carried him in a downward spiral. It is possible for a man to make a deliberate choice to go away from God. I don't recommend that, but I have seen it over the years. What a horrible thing it is to see somebody make a choice to deliberately go down and go away from God. Amen. But that's not the only way that people get down. Some people fall down. Amen. They didn't plan it. They didn't choose it. It was an error on their part. They weren't being careful, they didn't watch, they weren't paying attention, but they fell into a temptation, or they fell into a situation, amen, that caused them to trip up, and we say they fell into that temptation, or they fell into that sin. Ultimately, we know it's all choice, but I just want to get you to thinking tonight, amen, that some people do fall down. And you know what? We, the Bible says, that are spiritual ought to restore such a one. I don't know why it is, and I'm not going to try to flash back to last night's message. I have some regrets, as I've already said, about, you know, where we went with last night's message. But I can tell you this, amen, it disturbs me that the church, amen, in a lot of ways, has become the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. Did you hear? He fell down. Boom. Come on now. Why don't we help him up? Why don't we lend a hand? Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. There's people that are down tonight, and it's not just that they are so rebellious that they made a decision to
get in this condition, some people just, they just fall down. We ought to help them get back up, don't you think? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Some people fall down. Some people are knocked down. Yes, sir. Help them, Lord. Amen. I want to tell you, some people get knocked down. Some people are down because somebody else knocked them down. Some people are knocked down because they ran into some unexpected thing that knocked them down. Yesterday, I took my Bible out here into your little foyer entranceway out here on this end. Would that be west end of the church towards the parking lot out there, the gravel parking lot entrance, whatever it is. When you look out through the doors, you can see the swing set out there. And you got two chairs out there in that vestibule, and it was sunny and warm out there. And I took my Bible and sat out there, and I was sitting there just reading my Bible in the quietness of that secluded place back there. And all of a sudden, boom! You know, I turned and looked, and this bird had flown right into the glass of your frame foyer there. And I saw him fall down, you know, under the bush there. And so I jumped up, you know, to see. At first it startled me, and I trying to figure out what was going on there. And then I jumped up and I looked and I saw the bird. He kind of recovered and he flopped his way out and flew off. Thank the Lord, the bird survived it. Amen. But something in me wanted to say, little buddy, I know exactly how you feel. Huh? Some time ago, we were coming in from church, and it was rainy. Coming home, and we park around back, but it's the front porch that's covered. So since it was raining, I let LaDonna out front so she could, you know, she had her umbrella, and she run up under the porch, and then she could, you know, see to unlock the door. And then I was going to pull around back, which I did, and she would let me in, and the back patio door. So while I'm pulling around, my cell phone rings, and it's my brother-in-law. And so we're in a conversation, and I pull into the parking spot, and I see the lights come on in the house, and I see those big vertical blinds swing this way. And so LaDonna had got in, the lights were on, she pulled the vertical blinds open, and I saw her reach over there and unlock the door. So I've got my cell phone in one hand, my Bible under my arm, and I jump out and talking to my brother-in-law, and I was thoroughly expecting that on this dark, rainy night, my wife would have opened the door for me. Now, don't you think that would have been a nice thing for her to have done? Amen. And so I took off a running. Boom. I ran nose first right into that glass door. I never saw that coming. I didn't expect that. Totally unprepared. And the worst thing about it is, I was on the phone with my brother-in-law and he heard the whole thing. I have to let you go, Alan. I just busted my nose. I'll call you back later. He won't let me live that one down. But I learned a lesson from that. And I want to tell you tonight, sometimes the things of this world catch us off guard. Unexpected things arise. Sickness comes up. Financial problems. Difficulties with the kids, other things that just come up when we weren't prepared for it, and boom, we ran into it. And like that bird out there in the foyer or me in the rain, it totally catches us off guard and we find ourselves in a knockdown condition. You may be knocked down tonight. Let me tell you another way people get down. Some people are taken down, purposely taken down. An orchestrated attack against you. Somebody is conspiring to bring you down. Now, you may not think that that's possible. We all tend to be a little bit naive, and we all want to wish the best in people and see the best in people. But if you've lived any time at all, you know the fact is that there's some people that are not satisfied to see you doing better than what they're doing. Amen. They don't like the idea that you've got a little ahead of them. They don't like the idea that you're climbing up. And you know, it's not that that you're necessarily thinking of yourself as better than them. Amen. But you've been seeking God. You've been praying. Amen. Now, you're teaching a Sunday school class and they're not. You've got a position and they don't. God's using you and not them. Amen. And some people, rather than do the same thing you did to measure up, they, amen, aren't content until they bring you down. The fact of the matter is, there's a lot of things that have happened, amen, in the church and over the years where somebody makes an attempt to pull down another person, gossiping about them, trying to destroy their reputation, trying to pull them down, amen, pull them down, take them down with their cut downs and their put downs and their drag downs. I'm telling you, some people are down because they've been taken down. And it may be tonight that you've been in a down situation because of something somebody said about you. They said something about you. It hurt your feelings, no doubt. But I want to ask you tonight, are you going to stay down just because of somebody else that is trying to destroy you and take you down? Amen. The fact of the matter is, some people are down tonight because they've been taken down. And then there's what I call the meltdown. The meltdown can also be called a breakdown, as in a nervous breakdown or a physical breakdown. In some cases, a spiritual breakdown. One author that I read about, he was commenting on the story of Jesus in the ship with the disciples, and how that they cried out to Jesus in the storm, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus spoke to them and rebuked them and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And Franklin Logsdon, one of my favorite old-time authors, he said that at that moment, amen, we see the evidence that those men, they had suffered a spiritual breakdown. What Jesus was targeting there, amen, was not that they were required to have supernatural faith. They weren't Jesus. You can't, amen. We can't expect Peter and James and John to get up and speak to the wind and the winds obey them. That's not what it's about. I agree with Franklin Logsdon that the problem here is that when they got in the midst of the storm, they questioned whether Jesus cared about them or not. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" My friend, you may have a lot of questions about the problem you're in and the difficulty you're going through and the storm that's all around you. But it's a dangerous thing to question whether God really loves you or not. My friend, He has demonstrated His love towards you. You've got the evidence of God's love. Don't question His care and concern for you. You know that He cares for you even more than 1,000 sparrows. Amen. Jesus loves you that much. You can't question the care and concern of God. Amen. That's a meltdown. That's a breakdown. And I'm embarrassed to admit that there have been times that I've allowed that to happen to me. That under the pressure of the moment, amen, I lost faith. I lost hope. I got overly discouraged. And so I know that it happens. Because it happened to me. And it may have happened to you. But whether you got in this down condition because you stepped down, fell down, was knocked down, taken down, or melted down, the question tonight is not how you got down, but whether or not you're going to stay down. How are you going to get back up again? That's what the real question is. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the story of Jonah has two sides to it. While it is a story of a man on the run, it is also the story of a man on the rise. Jonah went down. We've already established that. But by the mercy and grace of God, he did not stay down. He came up out of there, praise God. He came up out of the depths of the sea. Came up out of the depths of that whale's belly. Came up out of his disobedience. Came up out of his disrespect. And he went on to do what God asked him to do. Amen. What a recovery. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want Jonah to stay down. I want Jonah to get back up again. Amen. That's why I like this book. The word of the Lord comes to him the second time. Amen. The word of the Lord comes to him again. He gets another chance. He gets to preach again. He gets to see revival. Amen. God uses him. Jonah doesn't stay down. Hallelujah! Praise God! Would this story be the same if it ended with him drowning in the belly of that whale? No! Amen! But it is here forever, confined in this black back book we call the Bible, because it tells us the story of a man that was recovered, that was revived, that was rescued, and got another chance! Hallelujah! You don't have to stay down! You're going to come up out of there. God wants to bring you up. And you can come back up. If God brought Jonah up, if God brought Mike Blue up, if God brought you up, He can bring them up. Praise God. And I believe He can do it in this service tonight. Amen. The question is not how you got down. Amen. I sympathize with you. I've told you there's a lot of ways to get down. And really, one man said, as far as falling down, there's a multitude of directions a man can fall. Amen. Praise God, if I decided to fall right now, I could fall in about any direction. The question here tonight is not how you fell and how you got down. The real question is, how are you going to get back up again? Amen. Three solutions real quick. Maybe many more. But here's the three that I have identified. Praise God. I call one, Jonah's, amen, the miraculous push-up. Hallelujah. The miraculous push-up. Jonah was in a situation that he could do nothing about except pray. There is no way that Jonah can steer this whale. There's no way he can climb up out of the depth of the sea. He was in a situation that he could do nothing about except pray. But thank God in chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Amen. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from destruction and from corruption. Oh, Lord my God. Amen. You brought me up. Amen. I was down, but you brought me up. Thank God. Amen. God can push you up. He can give you the power, the courage, amen, and the ability to get up out of that situation you're in. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There's many situations that require a miracle. And thank God He specializes in miracles tonight. Amen. He is able to do for us what we're not able to do for ourselves. Don't you abandon hope. Don't you give up on the possibilities. It may look hopeless and out of control, but I know a God that's able to bring you up and bring them up. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, the miraculous push-up. Amen. But there's a second way. God uses a variety of ways to get a man up from his down condition. Amen. And the push-up is only one way. I call the second one a merciful pull-up. I've already quoted the scripture. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. The vision here, amen, is of a man reaching down into a hole in the ground and grabbing another man by the hand and lifting him up out of that condition. Amen. I think that this is important Because while God is able to push you up out of a whale's belly, amen, sometimes we're in a situation that requires some cooperation with God. He reaches down, but you've got to reach up. He offers His hand, but you've got to extend your hand. And furthermore, let me tell you, sometimes God's hand is disguised in the hand of a man. Come help me, Brother Prescott, just for a moment. Amen. Sometimes, amen, God's hand looks a whole lot like the preacher's hand. Amen. Looks a whole lot like the preacher's hand. And I know that to be true because there's times I've been way down here. Amen. And it was the preacher that reached down and said, come on up, Mike. You can do better than this. I'm for you. You can do better. Praise God. And my friends have pulled me up, amen, out of the lowlands of my life. Amen. If I accept the help. If I accept the help. There's a friend that's been trying to encourage you. Why don't you get a hold of that hand and come up out of there? Hey man, there's somebody, they've been talking to you on the phone, trying to offer you, extend a hand to you to help you get up. Why don't you get a hold of that hand and come up out of there? Hey man, hey man. Praise God. We know the story of the man whose house was flooded all around and he climbed up on the highest point of the roof and men came in on a boat and with a megaphone they said, sir, we've come to rescue you. And he said, no, I'm waiting on God to rescue me. And they said, all right, we've got to go do other work. Last chance. You want us to help you? He said, no, I'm waiting on God. And later, amen, another boat comes by. And later, a helicopter comes overhead, and they holler down, sir, we're lowering a rope. We're going to help you get out of this flood. He says, thanks, but I'm waiting on God to get me out of this. And I know that's just a humorous story, but the man, amen, later, he complains to God and says, God, why didn't you help me? Why didn't you deliver me? And the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, I sent three people to help you and you refused them every time. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes God uses the hand of a man or the hand of a woman to try to help you come up out of there. You need to cooperate with God and you need to get a hold of that hand of help and believe that God not only pushes you up, but He can pull you up. And one more thing. We're about to close here. Amen. One more thing. Sometimes, I've already said, God can do miracles and push you up out of there. Amen. God can use somebody to help you, amen, pull you up out of there. But brother, sometimes you just have to climb up. You can be pushed up, you can be pulled up, but sometimes you've got to climb up. What I mean by that is sometimes you have to do what you know to do. Amen. You've got to do what you know to do. If you know, amen, the importance of going to church, staying home is not going to solve the problem. You're going to have to get a hold of yourself and say, come on, self. We're getting up out of this bed. And we're getting up out of this house. And we're getting up out of this low condition. And we're going to the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know what to do. You know, amen, that there are certain things that you have got to turn loose of. Certain things you've got to let go of. Certain ones you've got to say goodbye to. And you know what it is that God requires you. You're going to have to climb up out of there. Amen. To get back where you once were. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? I believe, amen, in the God of second chances. And I believe with all my heart tonight that He knows the condition of your life. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows that you're down. But it's not His will for you to stay down. It is not His will for you to stay down. Why don't you come on up? Come up out of there. Come on now. Amen. I know that there's a lot of things that you could attribute to your present condition to. But quit making excuses, Jonah. The fact of the matter is, you're not where you need to be with God. And He's offering you another chance. Would you bow your heads tonight? Let's pray as the singers come to sing. Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your presence. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Your Word is powerful. Your Word is true. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that You would move in this altar service tonight. Have Your way among us, we pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. When I talk about climbing up, I'm thinking of the prodigal son who I preached about here Sunday morning. Amen. There's a case of a young man that was down. Some say down on his luck. Some say he was just down in every way, financially, spiritually, long ways from home. I told you Sunday morning that of the three, two out of three, somebody went searching, sweeping, to save the lost sheep or the lost silver. But in the case of the prodigal son, there was no search party. In the case of the prodigal son, he said, I will arise. I'm going to get up. I will go to my father. I'm going to get up. I'm tired of this hog pen. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of this world. Amen. I'm tired of this muddy condition. I'm getting up. I'm getting out of here. I know where home is. I'm going to it. Amen. Why don't you let God help you tonight? I could tell you other stories and other incidents, but let the Word of God speak for itself tonight. He's drawing you. He's talking to you. What are you waiting for? Come on. Come on. Amen. Bring it to the Lord. Praise God. He's offering you a second chance. I said He's offering you a second chance. Amen. He's offering you another opportunity. The Word of the Lord came to him the second time. It may be that you're thinking, God's quit speaking to me. Wouldn't it be wonderful for God to speak to you again? He wants to. He's giving you another chance. Giving you another opportunity. It's going to be better. He's going to lift you up. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. If you all want to go ahead and sing, get started.
Once my
come on, Jonah.
Soul was a
come on, Jonah.
From the
cry out to God. Call out to Him.
I was wretched and vile as could be.
I know you're down, but you don't have to stay
but
down.
The Savior in love.
Jonah said, I prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly.
Joy and love.
I was down, but He lifted me up.
Down His hand for
oh,
me.
Spirit of God, that You would move through this place tonight. Let's all come and find a place to pray. If you feel led to pray with somebody, let God use you tonight to encourage someone. Let's pray one for another.